Hello, this is Pearl Lam Podcast. Now I'm sitting at the temporary home of my very dear friend Basma El Solomon. And I think in the past we have done an FT interview together. So now, unfortunately, her home, I'm having a fire and at his neighbor's home. So she could not move in for 9 months. So
even
now,
even more. It's
now,
so sad.
And now I'm at her temporary home doing our podcast. Basma, can you introduce yourself? Because a lot of audience, they don't know the art world. They don't know what you have contributed to the art world. It would be great if you...
Yes. Well, my name is Basma El Solomon. I come from Saudi Arabia. And I've been in the art world for many, many years. This is how I met Pearl. And now, you know, it's a journey. Art world is a journey. And I took that journey and I loved every bit of it. So to put things in context, Saudi Arabia is a very young country. And it was established in the 1932, and before that, it was a very modest country with very limited resources.
Nomads.
After the 32, 38, the oil was discovered. And from there on, the transformation happened, where at the early stages, the focus and the concentration was to build a country, to build the infrastructure, the education, the health system, everything. So that was the focus. So art and culture was not a top priority at that stage.
But you were one of the first person who started a virtual museum.
Exactly.
Called Basboka.
Yes, that's true. You know, and this was part of my journey. My journey went through exploration, went through education, went through many stages until I amassed a collection that I thought I was ready to share it with the world. Physical space was not convenient at that time, so I went towards technology, and I created the Basmoka Virtual Museum in 2011. That was the beginning.
And for the audience to know, the technology of Basmoka is, it was based on Second Life. So the Second Life, if I'm right?
Yes, that was the beginning.
It was the Second Life, the whole concept, the technicians built the Basmoka. And so you go in there, there's an avatar and brings you everywhere. And in can you imagine 2011? That was amazing.
Yes, exactly. And the platform was like used for many things, but I used it for the to create a museum. But then it was limiting, you know, and I could not do what I want. It crashed, you know, and so on. So I created my own platform, which was the Basmoka world. This is where I had my museum. I was able to create...
Your metaverse.
Metaverse. And this is the technology that is still used now. I used it already back in 2011.
How amazing. Technology as well. I mean, what is interesting for me, Basma, is I've known you for at least, more than a decade.
More than a decade. 2004, 2005,
yeah,
this is when
we met. I mean... Yeah. Wow, my God, years. I'm so old.
We're not going to speak about that.
I mean, what I was amazed when I first met you, a Saudi collecting Chinese art and a Chinese major collector, that was really quite shocking for me. Yeah. Saudi, what is the connection? I thought Saudi is a desert. And these ladies I met, my God, not that they are educated. They're curious. I remember you were telling me with all your groups of Middle Eastern friends, every week there is two times you were inviting professors to come to teach you, to talk about history, politics, philosophy, whatever.
Which everything.
Is everything. So when you go for social function or even at dinners, you all are very well versed. And the most important thing is, that curiosity is something that I really amazed, because I haven't seen any of my contemporaries or in China, ladies are so interested to be so self-cultivated.
Yeah.
So I was having a a shock of the world. Beside that, why was Saudi likes Chinese art? And then I realized that you have all those political pop work.
You know, like, I was obsessed with that art. Ask me why, how, I don't know.
I think your last life must be Chinese.
I have been Chinese. I always told you that, you know. Like in 2000, when I moved to London, the first thing I did, I took a diploma in contemporary and modern and contemporary art. And from there on, I started to look at art coming from different cultures. And I loved the one that came from China, because there was a big message, there was challenge, there was, you know, like, there was a love for life and wanting to belong, you know. And I thought that was fresh. And not only me, the whole world was obsessed with Chinese art. But what helped, you remember, is that after that period, I went to China.
Yes.
When my daughter
lived in China.
So this, again, exposed me to so much culture, history, art, you know, and that was where it really enriched my experience. And about the curiosity, because, look, Saudi Arabia, the position of women there is very, you know, like, it's not very clear at that moment. It was a bit challenging, a bit limiting, so it all was up to the woman herself how much knowledge she wanted. So a lot of them grow this curiosity to look for knowledge, information, to start to collect all these experiences because due to the limitation they had, you know, in their life. And that was a period which was like before the vision. You know, now we have a vision.
Since the MBS,
Prince Mohammed bin Salman, came to power in 2016, he created this vision for the Saudis. And this vision was one of, you know, first, of course, reduce dependency on oil, diversify the economy, and so on. But one of the main objective of it was to change and reform the social aspects of life there. And one of it, empowering women, you know. And this is here where the doors were open. Before, it was limited. We had the guardianship system. I don't know if you're aware of that.
Yes.
Yeah, the guardianship system and so on. But after this vision, it's like life has opened up.
Okay. I was going to talk about Saudi a bit later, but since we are in Saudi, we talk about Saudi first about you being a collector.
Because, you know, like this, you place me. You can understand more or less.
I mean, you're not just Saudi, you're international. Okay, what amazes me is when I went to visit you, is it last year or 2 years ago?
2 years ago.
2 years ago, when I walked into Saudi, I went to Jeddah, where you live. The first night, we were in a rooftop rave party with all the music, with blasting, everybody was dancing. I was flabbergasted because all we read is, well, in a Muslim country, you have to wrap around yourself. Remember, you have asked me years ago to come. I said, no, I don't want to come. I don't want to wrap myself up. But this summer went without wrapping myself up. But the first thing I saw is music, dancing. But there I was in the midst of a big party at a rooftop. That was my first experience.
I
was totally, not just fair, I was shocked because this was completely a different image I would have known about, what I would have imagined about Saudi.
Yeah.
Next thing is, as you know, I'm a foodie, right?
Yes.
Oh my God, the food is so good. The Japanese food is so good. The Japanese food there is better than in London. I could not believe that. So all that things, and then I started having different Saudi friends, Saudi women friends. They are all very knowledgeable. They are all like really good in business. They have a vision and they are strong. They're confident.
Very much.
Where did it come from? Because what we read and what I actually see, and meet the people. Of course, I'm not saying that everyone, but we saw the young girls, they were working, they're very dynamic. I went to all this institution, they were all there, curators. It's completely a different image that I would have.
That's what you
thought.
Have, exactly. But this is what we always suffered, the stereotype. People don't want to change that image. They still want to see the Saudi woman and keep that image in their mind that she's repressed, she's covered, she's not educated, she's just a follower, you know, and all of that. And this is not true.
I mean, your sisters is all educated in America.
She was the first Saudi pediatrician from Georgetown University.
So and all
with honors, you know, she graduated, got the American board. And this is where I want to take you to this point where there is always the notion is that Saudi women share the same cultural experience and identity. And this is not true. This is not true from the olden day. This is not true because Saudi is very diversified culturally. It's very diversified. It has a different culture within one culture, but it all depends on the experience of each woman. Like, what applies to you does not apply to me. And that depends on the region where they come from, education,
that because you guys are from the elite family, sent abroad to study?
No, because this is, another thing is that we have developed, because the education system at the very beginning, I'm talking about the 40s and the 50s, was a little bit just starting. We created the scholarship system, which was sending young boys and girls abroad for their education. And this system was very strong and kept on developing and evolving. And it included everybody, especially the middle class. And these are the ones that returned, and they are all now in leading positions because education was very important. Education was in the heart of every parent, you know, like
Chinese, like Asian.
Yes, exactly.
Or Jewish.
Education, it was very important. And everybody wanted the best education for their kids, so either locally or internationally, if they can afford it, or through the scholarship program. And we sent children to everywhere in the world. At the beginning, it was in the Western world. It was America, UK, Canada, and so on. But after, they thought is that it's better to send them to different culture. So they started going to Japan, to the Far East, to North Africa, to many places, because the knowledge that they will get and the experience, it's going to all kind of end up in Saudi, where it will push the country and the economy. So when the country opened up, everybody was ready. We did not need the expats. Did not to bring people like other countries. We did not need to do that. Now, all our young people and the new generation, they are in leading positions.
And also, what I was pretty impressed was when I was asking all the Saudi ladies, I said, oh, can you put up with your husband having four wives? Mm-hmm. They all said to me, they don't have four wives. No. Only me. Yes. One wife.
Exactly.
We don't have. What is this that people is talking about?
Yeah.
It's not true.
No, it's not true.
Because it's really, you know, I think there's still a small percentage, but it's not everyone.
Not everybody. And basically, just a simple answer, they can't afford it. Now the demands of life, you know, it's not like the same like before. And there is no need. Maybe at the beginning was to grow the population or for a reason. But now there is no need. And most of the couples, the boy and, you know, the man and the woman are all educated. So what applies to you applies to me. So if you make a choice, you want to have another life. I have a choice as
well. For the audience to know, if you are not from Saudi, is when Basma mentioned the guardianship, is whenever any woman before, prior to the new rules, is when they go get out of the country, they have to have a male person to sign off before they can get out of the country or to do anything. Besides that, they can't drive, right?
Yes.
And then now they're free. They are entity, they are individual, they're independent. So you have woman minister, and then there's so many women. Okay, let's talk about the woman artist.
Yes, the woman artist.
I mean, there are so many women artists, much more than men and male artists in Saudi.
You know, like, let's say they are more or less equivalent to male artists.
But why?
But they were there from the very beginning. Like one of the first Saudi, from the first artist was a Saudi woman where she did her first exhibition in 58.
Wow.
Yeah. She was Saudi. She went to, art school in Italy. But of course, this special case was supported by her family. But they allowed her to be who she wants.
You know, the family is not as traditional as our perception.
Exactly. The perception is so wrong. You know, because they see the image that they have in the mind is like the black thing. Everybody's covered. Everybody is, you know, like, so they must be not educated. They must be not exposed.
Oh, by the way, in Jeddah, I was there. No woman was covered. Then I go to Riyadh. Riyadh was... I did see some women was covered. But then when I went to Alula, the desert, many women were covered.
This is where I told you, it's not all women share the same experience. We don't have all the same experience. And it's a very much a personal choice, how much you want to cover, how much you want to... The main rule is that you have to be respectfully dressed. You know, that's the main rule. But...
I remember one of our friends who wants to come, and you know she loves mini.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, I said, you cannot wear.
Exactly. You have to respect the culture, you know. And this is where the limitation happens. But the color, what you wear, what you put on your head, it varies. And it is a personal choice.
But I have to confess, among all the Middle Eastern country I've been, the only place that I want to come back is Saudi. I love Saudi.
Yeah.
It took me such a long time to visit. I was so reluctant to visit, but I love that Alula. Yeah.
It's culture.
That culture and the artists are really strong.
Very good. Very
strong.
Good.
And, you know, there's a lot of surprises there. Let's talk about you. Okay.
Yeah.
So, does your family collect?
No.
So, how did you first start collecting, even with Waleed, your ex-husband?
Yeah.
I mean, how do you persuade him to collect art?
You don't like it. I never grew up with art. I never was in museums. I was never exposed to that, you know, as a child. But then, you know, it started by traveling. When we started to travel abroad, we started, you know, visited museum, but not as... art museum, mostly as part of the tour, you know, like you do
culture.
If you go to Paris, you see the Eiffel Tower, you have to pass by the Louvre.
Yeah.
But it's not like I wanted to go with my family to see the Louvre to look at the art. No, it was part of the tour, you know, and this is where the interest started growing, is that seeing all these different museums, these attending all these different exhibitions, the galleries, you know, like... a lot of, you know, like Saatchi and that exhibition, the first exhibition for the...
Chinese art?
No, the YPOs.
Oh, the YPOs across the river.
It was another one. I forgot the name right now. And there was a lot of scandal about it. It went to New York.
Oh, no. It was in Royal Academy.
Yes.
That is called Sensation.
Sensation.
Sensation was amazing.
Yes, Sensation. And then it went to New York and there was all this hustle about New York.
They were closed down.
Yes, exactly. Sensation was a turning point, you know, seeing those old found objects that are turned into art.
And blood
and the shark and, you know, all of these things were very new experience for me. But I started at the beginning with a learning trip, you know, it's just to watch, to look, to experience, to see, and started noticing what other people have.
But your first painting is the David Hockney. Yeah. I mean, your budget is very high. Because no,
it
whenever...
Was, it was not at that time.
I mean,
know.
But whenever people start buying when they begin,
yes.
They buy younger artists. They don't buy a David Hockney. Yeah, okay.
I didn't...
David Hockney at the time, at least if it is not hundreds of thousands, it's ten of thousands.
Yeah. At that time, I had absolutely no clue who's David Hockney. I just felt the attraction. At that time, bought Hockney and I bought a Stella.
Oh, Stella.
Stella as
what,
well.
What sort of Stella?
It was like, not
geographic,
geometrical designs, you know. And Hockney, I was attracted to the colors, to the subject. I still remember, we paid for it at that time, $60,000.
But
yeah, at that time.
But at the time, 60,000 is a lot.
It's a lot, you know. In the 90s, that was what we.
It's
I still remember the amount that we paid for it. And then, you know, like from there on, my curiosity grew, and I wanted to explore more. So I started to attend. First, it was classic art because my ex, my Waleed, he wanted more because he was more comfortable, you know, in art that he was also, you know.
Not sensational.
Definitely,
yeah.
he never liked that kind of art. So we were more into classic, you know, like Venice scene, landscape, you know. But not so important.
Yeah.
You know, Canaletto, he loved Canaletto, but we never went into that to that price range, even at that time. But it was this kind of scene, you know, like ships, water, you know, things that what you see is what you get. I was more curious about other
the contemporary.
Things. Yeah, the contemporary. So when I started buying this, he was not very happy. You know, like, what is this? You know, like this, anybody can do it. You know,
anyone can.
You know, my child can do that. It's not. But I loved it. I loved that art. And I felt I had this connection. This was the beginning, is experimenting without knowledge or education. But of course, after the course in Christie's in 2000, my perception to art was changed. And in the same time, I was alone. By that time, I was a single mother. So I was able to do the art travel. So I traveled with Roger Bevan for different art trips, and then started doing courses, attending more, advanced shows, you know, like one of the shows that I still remember was Africa Remix.
Where I love that show.
Can you
in Pompidou? I was there every day for five days.
And this is where I was introduced to Annette Tsui.
I love that show.
That was one of the things, and they were all avant-garde. You know, avant-garde. Everything
it was such a, I loved that. This was my best. My best loving show.
Yes, I love that show. Me too. And
it was early 2000.
Yeah, it was here in the Hayward.
No, I saw it in Pompidou.
Yeah, I saw it here in the Hayward. And from there on, you know, I started looking into emerging art that's coming from different culture. India impacted me very much, my trips to India, because this is where I learned.
You went with Melissa, right?
I went with Melissa, and I went with Amin Jaffer.
Different trips. Is it different, the feeling?
Yes, because.
The visits are different.
Yeah, the experiences were different. With Melissa, it was more, you know, combining art, culture, heritage, you know, all of that. It was focused on contemporary art. Yeah. And I remember visiting beautiful collection, you know, Leka Podem and all of these people. And here where I learned about commission work, you know, because most of them, to support their artists, to support the Indian artists, what they did, a lot of these big families and big foundation commissioned works.
That's how you commission the Saudi work, right?
Exactly. This is where I learned about commissioning. And this is where I said, okay, let me do the same. Why not? And I went back with this notion and I started dealing. At that time, the artists were still, not limited, they were producing, but on a smaller scale. domestic size, where they wanted to do just to make ends meet. You know, it was not like really a big scene like today. And from there on, I built the Saudi collection. I started buying everything that comes to auction that nobody wants to buy. The Saudi.
Really? There's no one wants to buy?
Yes, yes. Like one of the most important piece came to auction during COVID. And nobody, you know, bid on it. So I was very happy to be the one, you know, and I got it. And things like that. And I started, you know, collecting Saudi with a focus and a vision, and international art, which I bought what I loved.
Okay, let's talk about your chronological. Mm. Okay, so you start collecting because you love it, you want to decorate your house.
Yes.
You never collect before investment.
No.
Which is amazing because you buy because your heart likes.
Yes.
I think a lot of collectors has learned because that's how you find the best of art. Then after that, you went for your course, you start loving Chinese. During the time when you are building your Chinese collection, you are also curious about other contemporary art.
Yes.
So when do you actually started with your Saudi collection?
I started after my trip to India, because before that I bought bits and pieces, but without focus. But after the trip to India, which was like around 2005, you know, something like that, I started collecting with a focus.
You learned from the other collectors.
I learned from the other collector. And nobody was doing it, you know, like nobody was doing this thing except in India. They were the ones that commissioned site-specific artwork.
But I saw all your site-specific artwork 2 years ago at the museum at the Alula.
Alula, yes.
Yeah, because you have all those big... big installation work, which I don't see. You know, if it's not in the museum, it's in your storage.
Exactly. But that was the thing, is that I wanted to build artwork for an institution. The Saudi artwork, I wanted to build a collection for as an institution.
So are you going to open an institution for yourself in Saudi?
Well, it's a big question, you know, like, and this is, I've been...
Because all you need is just to get a warehouse and put your things in.
Yes, exactly.
It's not really, you know, at least you have a few staff that people can come in, can see the work.
Yeah, I've been offered, you know...
Which will be like, splendid.
Exactly, I've been offered a space that I can have. It is one of my projects, you know, this is something in the pipeline. I'm still working on it, but definitely I'm going to go down that
because
route.
Because, Basma, as you know, I'm very interested in cultural dialogue. Mm. What I see in you is I can't even call you a Saudi. You are international. You are like a person with a different passport, because what is great about, you know, you are a universe person. There's no discrimination about any culture. But because you recognize yourself as a Saudi, you're promoting and pushing Saudi for other people to know. So your collection would be an international artist having a dialogue with a Saudi artist. And that is what I would love to see in your collection, because this is who you are and what you are. And it's really important to have all that, what you're showing, because it's your mind, it's this cross-cultural dialogue, which is really important to me. Actually, this is soft power. This is the way for world peace.
You know, this is what I did with my museum shows, because they were a curated show in the virtual museum, and was always based on this cultural dialogue. What the Saudis thought of a certain subject and what other artists thought of in the same time. And it was this dialogue which was very interesting. But, you know, in a virtual world, it is interesting. People can flicker through the internet, but it's different when they experience it physically.
Of course, yeah, and the inflash is really
exactly,
different.
Exactly. And it's this very is different. Where eventually, I'm going down that route. You know, I would love to one day have that physical space.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would love to.
So, through your whole journey, becoming who you are now, What are you looking for? What is your future? How are you going to build your future within
the art world?
Yeah, not just within the art world, in Saudi. Saudi, you're finding your voice. A woman is giving a voice. You're giving a voice. And you are really deep-rooted in art and culture. How do you see yourself in the next decades?
Yes, I have a responsibility. I feel is that I have a big responsibility where I need to give part of the experience I had. And I think one of that is to be committed to my society, community, to my people, is that to pass this information or this knowledge, let's say not information, but knowledge, to pass this knowledge to them through every possible way. So what I have done recently is create an educational platform on social media. And this is targeting the mass. I don't want the elitist.
Yeah.
I want everybody. I want everyone can open this link or this social media platform and look at the art and find it not only accessible, but find it possible to understand. So I created the platform with the art information, art education, creating videos about artists, to start with like local artists, our artists that not everybody knows about.
No,
them.
This
you know,
is great.
And this is the thing. So they need to be visible. People need to know them, need to be exposed to what they do, to their accomplishment. So I took it upon myself is that to pass this knowledge and information to the mass, locally and internationally. So I do it in two languages, English and Arabic, you know, so it can serve, you know, the locals and the international world to be exposed to what is happening in our part of the world. I'm still at the beginning, you know, but this is like now is my passion, you know, so I'm always looking for new opportunities, new things to introduce, a new way to produce, either it's films or reels, short reels, because don't forget as well, Pearl, now people have a short span.
Yes,
so
very short span.
You cannot, you know, load them with so much information.
That's why TikTok works.
Yes.
Because it's very short and it's moving.
Yeah, I also have a platform in TikTok, Facebook,
Instagram,
and on X as well. You know, so I'm trying to do that as my own social contribution. And I do it, it's non for profit, so I don't benefit. There are no ads or anything. I just do it.
Tell me more about your philanthropic work, because you have been doing a lot of philanthropy.
Yeah.
Tell me more about that.
You know, for me, was the main thing is to promote Saudi and Saudi artists. So I've started from like long time ago. Much before that, I started working with different, because I thought it was impossible to place like artists within museums, collections, and to expose them to the rest of the world. So I started donating works from Saudi artists to museums.
Okay.
And I do, this is a project that I, you know, embarked on, and it's very close to my heart. You know, Pearl, I lost Muhammad, my son, about 12 years ago, I lost Muhammad. And I do all these things because I want to keep his legacy alive, and I want his name to be alive. I don't want his name to disappear. Sometimes people, if they lose dear ones, they just don't want to be reminded of them. For me,
you want his name to be in memory
of him, you know, in something beautiful, you know, in something nice, you know. So I do all my these donations, all my artwork that I kind of like loan or donate or do any work is always in his memory. And this makes me happy because two things that I love the most, you know, is the art world and my son, you know, that I lost. So, and it's, and it always makes me happy when I see the artwork and I see the dedication, you know. So this has been part of my philanthropy is, and my contribution. And I support artists in their journey, in their residency, in a lot of work. And I really am happy doing that. And especially now that I see the fruit of what we have done, you know, like, I don't know if you know the big show in Christie's for one of the Saudi artists.
Yeah, you asked me to go.
Yeah, you have to go and see it. It's remarkable. Let's go.
Okay.
Let's go in these coming two days. You know.
No, tomorrow I'm leaving, remember?
But when are you coming? Yes, you will be back.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you're back.
So next week we can go.
Next week we'll go because really something I'm so proud of.
Okay.
You know, it's really a great, great show. So all of these now after the vision and now after, you know, all these major changes and the big support that the government is giving, it's incredible the support that the art and the artists are having nowadays. They have exposure, they have support, education,
yeah,
everything.
I was told the Riyadh Biennial is so much better than the Shanghai Biennial because Riyadh Biennial has lots of money, huge budget to make it the most successful. The second one was very good, I was
told.
Yes, it's beautiful. That is why I have to come back to Saudi, yeah, maybe December.
Yeah, because in January would be better because you have the Chinese. But because in January we have the Islamic.
I can come after March.
Maybe February or March. Yeah, because
like
it's beautiful and it's based on a new concept. You know, it's amazing. Different from all the Biennale. So, and Amin Jafar is the curator this year.
I know.
Yes,
I know.
So it's a lot of things are happening. A lot of projects in Alola, you know, and for me, it's important to see all these development, to see all these, you know, this level of maturity that is happening.
It's very fast as well.
It's very fast, yeah, because everything was ready, you know, and it was. It's really amazing. And personally, for me, I would love to continue my journey. You know, my journey is started and you know, Pearl, it's challenging, you know, because I don't want to reach one day a point where I say, oh, what am I going to do next? No, I have to think of, you know, 2-3 projects already in
That's
the same.
How exciting.
Yes, exactly, to continue. You know, to be able to face the second phase, the third phase, the fourth phase. So I hope I will find the next one now soon.
At this point, I have to thank you, Basma, for the time that I spent here speaking about Saudi art world and your journey. It's beautiful. Thank you, Basma.
Thank you, Pearl, for this opportunity. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks.